Hello, my name is Julian Jacoby, and I was Ayrton Senna's manager and business advisor at the time that he was killed at the San Marino Grand Prix in May 1994.
He was 34.
And he was the second highest paid athlete in the world after Michael Jordan. I believe that somebody like that comes along once in a generation. And you can talk about Muhammad Ali in boxing, Pele in soccer. These are people who were recognized over and beyond their sport around the world. The accident took place at Imola, which is in the center of Italy. Changes were made to the cars between the 1993 and the 1994 seasons, and new rules and regulations were in place. And Ayrton had told me on a number of occasions during the winter that he felt sure that there were going to be accidents. So when Rubens Barrichello, who was a young Brazilian driver and a protege and friend of Ayrton's, had a serious accident on the Friday afternoon, which thankfully wasn't fatal, didn't really come as a surprise. And then on the Saturday, there'd been a fatal accident to Roland Ratzenberger, which deeply upset Ayrton, because in the 12 years that he'd been involved in serious motor racing, he'd never had to confront a fatality on the track at the time that he was actually racing. So it came as quite a shock, and certainly had a profound effect on him on that Saturday afternoon when he withdrew from qualifying, having already put the car on pole position. And although a lot has been written since about the fact that he didn't want to race and he was highly emotional, I don't think that's entirely true. He was deeply upset, but he was also a professional racing driver, and having had a long discussion with his family and with myself on Saturday night, he was in the frame of mind to race on the Sunday, and he'd spent Sunday morning discussing safety measures that the drivers felt should be introduced. When the race actually started, Ayrton was leading the race with Schumacher close behind, and then the car suddenly veered off the track and hit the wall. I think it must have been the sixth or seventh lap. I knew it was serious because Ayrton didn't get out of the car, but I didn't realize immediately it was going to be fatal. It appears that what caused his death was when the car hit the wall, although the tub stayed intact and Ayrton was strapped into the tub and had no bodily injuries, the wishbone, which is the rod connecting the suspension to the wheels, came off and was forced backwards towards the cockpit and pierced Ayrton's helmet, and that's what caused his death. I found somebody to drive me to the hospital in Bologna, who happened to be a Brazilian journalist who knew the way because he'd been there on Friday afternoon to visit Barrichello. When we got to the hospital, he was kept on a life support machine for 3 or 4 hours and I think officially declared dead around 6 or 6:30 in the evening. I then flew back to London on the Monday for a change of clothing and flew out to Brazil for the funeral, and one was almost kept going by the need to keep going because I wasn't family, but I had to keep the family going. So one kept going really on adrenaline and everything else until after the funeral, which was a unique occasion. I remember watching JF Kennedy's funeral in Washington in 1963 and even Winston Churchill's when I was a young boy. I think I'd never seen anything like this, but the Senna funeral in Brazil was just quite something you wouldn't want to be part of because of what happened, but on the other hand, being there, it kind of put everything into perspective. Here was a guy from Brazil, which has a fledgling motor industry, who could take on and beat the industrialized world. Here was somebody rather like Pele, who was a world figure, who was universally respected, and during the 9 years that I worked for him, I didn't understand, being based here in Europe, just how much he was revered in Brazil.